that fence and love my neighbor. And I will love him so much that I will invite him over for supper. And then I can become his friend and talk to him about Jesus Christ. That's a principle that you'll find in the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 23. Here is an example of Jesus. And in Matthew 23:37, where Jesus weeps over the city and he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Now, we find here a principle that Jesus paid a high price for these people. He wept. And these people are going to pay a high price for rejecting the Son of God. You reject him, and there is a great price to be paid. Look again, I just picked out a few things here. Mark 6:52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now, they had just seen Jesus walking on water, and it had shocked them. "What have you done out there walking on that water?" He had just fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Why should it shock them? Oh, well, that happened. No, that happened that day. We're talking about the same day. And the Bible says they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. What is the principle then? Hard hearts come from forgetful minds. All you have to do is just get away from the Lord a little bit, and your mind begins to forget. Now, these are principles that you draw out of the Scripture. Now, let me turn your attention to Colossians, the first chapter. Now, he has written this church. He's not been there, and he's heard about them. He has received communication concerning them, and he is pleased. He says, "My, it's just wonderful what we have heard and what God is doing and the love which you have for all of us." In other words, the reports were good. He was, fine. "For this cause," verse 9, "we also, since the day we heard it," since we heard how well you were doing, since we heard how much you loved, since we have been aware of what's going on over there, and how good things are going, do not cease to pray for you." Anybody have a prayer request? A sister saw her about to die of cancer. You ever hear anybody get up and say, "I'll tell you what, it is going so well over at Sharon. Please pray for me." Well, don't we pray when things are going bad, don't we? We have a crisis management theology. God is only interested in us when we're in trouble. And all the time, we are supposed to be praying for those that are those that are prosperous. He said, I heard about how well you're doing. And from that time, I have not ceased to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk, might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. Now, what did Paul pray? The principles are there. All you have to do is look at them. Now, first of all, let me remind you of something. Everything that we do as a Christian must be related to revealed truth. We have absolute. All conduct, all acceptable behavior is related to absolute. When you see a red light come on and it pulls you over, it is because you broke one of those axles. You didn't stop when it said stop. You went 65 when it said 55. And they remind you that there are some absolutes. When you go into fear, you may not choose to pay cash or put it on your revolving credit. You may choose to pick it up and walk out. But there are signs everywhere that says shoplifting is a crime. Violators will be prosecuted. That's an absolute. And you had better understand that you are going to suffer the consequences. Now, once you understand the biblical absolute, it'll help you. It'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you in your relationship, husband and wife. It'll help you in your family relationship. It'll help you on the job. It'll help you the knowledge that you must be born again. These are absolutes. God has His absolute. And it is interesting, if you go through the Bible, that God lays down principles and then He draws out of that behavior pattern. Look at Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. But what goes before Romans 12, 1? Romans 1 through 11. Romans 1 through 11 lays down for all of us principles. And then it tells you how to live in Romans 12. But you have those doctrinal principles laid down in the first 11 chapters. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, how it talks about, oh my, the wrath. Death's corruptible must put on incorruption, and then shall be brought to pass. Oh death, where is thy sting? Then it has, therefore, the last verse. But it is all based on the doctrine of the resurrection. Here he lays down the principle of the resurrection. And out of that he draws a behavior pattern that is absolutely essential. Well, let me show you. First of all, he says here that we are to pray, he prayed, that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Those are the three steps, and you find them in verse 9. They're right there, aren't they? Did you know most people think the will of God is like an Easter egg? You have to hunt. Where is the will of God? I've got to find the will of God. Oh, if I just knew the will of God for my life, I'd do this. You don't know what the will of God is? It's not hard. And not only that, it says here, my desire is that you might be filled, and the word for filled there is right up to the top. Not just a little bit, that you might be filled absolutely, completely, totally knowledgeable of the will of God. Now, first of all, it is God's will that you be saved. Nobody is questioning that. It's not willing that any should perish. What is the will of God? That you be saved. The will of God is that you be filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Perfectly obvious what the Bible says. The Bible teaches that we should be sanctified, set apart. The Bible teaches that we should be submissive. The Bible teaches that we should be willing to suffer. The Bible teaches that we should give Him thanks in all things. That's the will of God. So don't go around pick up the will of God under the earth. Here's the will of God. It is revealed in His Word. That's our big problem today. We have three major problems. First of all, we have the problem of those that are ritualistic in their religious activity. They go to church and they go through rituals. They bow, they kneel. The Catholics started it. And other churches have taken it up. But basically, they are ritualistic Christians. They don't know why they're Christians. All they know is that they are supposed to go to church and they are supposed to do certain things. They're supposed to stand here, and they're supposed to sit here, and so on and so forth. Then, of course, you have those that are the liberals. They do not believe the Bible. They don't have any foundation upon which to build their life. And so they are so involved in social activities, so involved in political activity, that they don't know a thing about the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then on the other hand, we have the Pentecostal. And that person is completely controlled by his experience. He does not have any concept of the Word of God. He says he believes the Bible is the Word of God, but he doesn't study it because he has a personal pipeline. And that pipeline gives him an experience that he does not need the Word of God. But if you are going to build your life for the Lord, you're going to have knowledge of His Word. Amen. That's where it comes from. But beloved, that's not enough. You have to be able to have wisdom. Knowing the Bible is not enough, but to be able to apply that Bible, to principalize the Bible, is what I was trying to say a while ago. Find in the Bible, here are the principles that I'm dealing with, and that will give you wisdom. That will give you ability to do the will of God. But notice again, he says, then you have to have understanding. I turn the knowledge into workable principles. But then I apply them to my life. It isn't enough for me to know the principles. Then I have to begin to practice them. I have to develop them, if you please. And you'll notice that he says that's exactly what will happen. If I have knowledge of the Word, if I have wisdom in using the knowledge that I have, and I understand and put those into practice, then something's going to happen. And there are five principles, five benefits of these principles, and he lists them here. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Wow! If I know the Bible, if I draw out of it principles for my life, and then I begin to use those principles in my life, I will walk worthy.
Boy, that's not very humble, Brother Kendrick.
Nobody said it was humble. I don't know, when I was a young fellow, the Yankees used to win the pennant every time. Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. But they had a second baseman that was a Christian, Bobby Richardson. Bobby Richardson said one time, he said, when you put on a Yankee uniform, you just naturally become a better player. Okay, think about that. People expected a lot out of the Yankees. Yeah. The Oakland A's. Who expects any? You know, can any good thing come out of Oakland? But when you talk about the Yankees, or did, well, even then, Jesus Christ, boy, they're different. I bleed Dr. Blue. Okay. What am I saying? There's such a thing as having pride. Let me show you. You may not understand this principle, but you say, I can't walk. Try 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. Did you understand that? Why can I walk worthy? Because God walks in me. That's why. You know, we sometimes we don't walk and talk. I'm a preacher. I dress like a preacher. I talk like a preacher. And I try to live like a preacher. I hope you never have to be ashamed to say, I'm a good Catholic. Why? I know something about the Bible. I have drawn from the Bible principles for my life. And now I'm trying to apply them to my life, and now I can walk worthy. And you can do, anybody can. That's what the Bible says. Walk worthy. Walk pleasing. It has to do with walk. Notice again. He says that if you have knowledge and wisdom and understanding, you will be fruitful in every good work. Look up the word fruit bearing. The Bible talks about you bearing fruit. The Bible talks about good deeds, leading people to Christ, giving money to the Lord's cause. All of these are mentioned as fruitful experiences in the Lord's cause. You want to be fruitful? Then you first of all have to know the Word of God. You have to build your life on the Bible. And then you can become a fruitful Christian. Notice again, there's another word here that might help you. Increasing in the knowledge. Now, the goal of every Christian is to come to the full stature of Christ. Now that's the idea. It is a hopeless idea. I'm trying to straighten my theology out. But it's still the idea. And we press toward the mark of our high calling. You know, it would be terrible for us to give up in despair and go, oh, I can never do that. I can grow. But the only way that I can grow is to know the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. You're not going to grow by going down and praying through, having all of these wild experiences that people are talking about. Going to grow by knowing the Word of God. Now, don't misunderstand. I know people that know the Bible that are not spiritual Christians. And the reason is they have knowledge and no wisdom. They have knowledge without zeal. And knowledge without zeal is as bad as zeal without knowledge. You need to balance the two. But you have to have knowledge. You have to know the Word of God. You are commanded to study the Word. Build your life around the Word of God. And when you do, you will begin to walk with it. You will begin to bear fruit. You will begin to increase. You will grow. But notice again. You will be strengthened. How? With all might? Woo-hoo. That must be a mystery. Surely that couldn't be what that said. Well, Brother Phillips would appreciate this. That's a present participle. Do you know what that means? That means that that's an action that just keeps on going. It's a continuous action. You see, that doesn't mean that God gives us a shot. Says, now you're on your own. You know, okay, buddy, I launched you now. This is it. That isn't the thought here. The thought is that he strengthens every step of the way. He just keeps on strengthening us. I don't know what your problems are. I don't know what your trials are. I don't know what your temptations are. But we are continually being strengthened. He pops into us his. You don't need to go around saying, well, do you know Christians are always, well, under the circumstances. I'm not under the circumstances. I'm under the blood. I am not some peon. I have the strength that God Almighty continues to give. Not about ready to give up. You know, these guys are ready to roll over. Not me. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Well, with all patience and long suffering. That's endurance. You know, Paul could handle a lot of things. He could handle Jade. He could handle brethren that lied about him, misrepresented him. He could handle beating. He could handle stoning. He could handle shipwrecks. He could handle poverty. He could handle all kinds of things. And he could handle experiences that were not even lawful to others. Why? Because he had knowledge. Because he took that knowledge and used it wisely. Knowledge and wisdom are not synonymous, beloved. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we'll all be. Knowing something is not enough. You have to draw out of that some principle that will help you in your life. But just to know the principle is not enough. I have to then adapt it to my lifestyle and put it into practice. You know, just, oh, yeah, I know that. I know not to lie. I know not to cheat. I know not to commit adultery. Well, then don't do it. It's not enough to know. Accept those absolutes. Notice again. This enduring is something that I guess the great example is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You ever thought about how that they were standing there at the furnace? And they said, God will deliver us. And if he does, that's still okay. You know? Have you ever really just committed your life like that to the Lord? That if they throw me in a furnace, God can take care of me in the furnace in any way he wants. He can let me burn up, or he can keep me from even having the stench of smoke. All I have to do is follow his word and trust him in the Lord. Now, all of that is right in that 50 verses of Scripture. All you have to do is look for it. That is what I call principalizing Scripture. That's what I call expository teaching. That's what I call finding something that the Bible says that is appropriate to the lives of the 20th century Christians. Too much of this so what teaching is going on, where people get up and tell a good story, and then people say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Spend time studying the Bible and look for a principle that applies to your life in these Bible studies. And once you have found that principle, then put that principle into practice. And if you are pastoring a church, help people to see those principles. And then give them ideas of how that they can put those principles into practice. That week, give them an assignment.
Okay, your assignment.
You ask the teacher to come. But beloved, preach the word. That's the only thing that will do anything in the life of your Christian.
Afternoon, you were going to look for it.
Yeah. You want me to come preach that for your church, Evan?
Yeah, if I will.